Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Jude. The book of Jude. I do have a couple of prayer requests. I was asking Miriam this morning, and Sister Janet's sick, and Kyle is sick. A lot of people are sick right now, and let's remember them in prayer, and just pray that the Lord will help us through this, I guess, flu season, and help us to just serve Him with gladness throughout this new year. In the book of Jude, there's, of course, only one chapter, and it's right before the book of Revelation. I know that I've preached from this portion of Scripture before, and if I live very long, I'll probably preach from it again, but I have a message on my heart tonight entitled, Doing Our Part in This New Year. These verses, verse 20 through verse number 25, I've divided into two sections. One is our part, and the other is His part. I just want to say this about our Lord. You don't ever have to worry about Him doing His part. He's faithful. His mercies are new every morning. The book of Lamentations said, Great is thy faithfulness. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. I appreciate you being here tonight. Let's look at the scripture together for just a few minutes this evening. The Bible said in verse number 20, But ye beloved, and I must stop just a moment. There's a contrast being made from what's been said prior to verse number 20. I mean, you go down through here and it talks about in verse number 8, filthy dreamers, and it talks about the way of Cain and the error of Balaam and spots in the feast. And it talks about in verse 16, murmurers and complainers and walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaks great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. And he said, But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. And the writer here is drawing a huge contrast, night and day difference between what they are and what we are as the children of God. And if you look over in verse number 3, it uses that word beloved again. It kind of goes along with the message this morning on standing in this year. It said, When I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now you can see that in that verse of Scripture, they're not looking for something modern. They're saying you need to go back and contend for that faith that was once delivered. It's already in the past. It's already been delivered to the saints of God. And then in verse number 20, we'll pick up there. I'm not going to preach the whole book, but I just wanted to show you why it says in verse 20, But ye, beloved. He's drawing a stark contrast. And someone said years ago, and may this not be the truth around here. It would be easy for it to be the truth. But may God help us that it wouldn't be the truth. Someone said years ago, we're living in an age when the church has gotten so worldly and the world has gotten so churchy that you can't hardly tell the difference. That should never be so, my beloved. Amen. That should not be so. The Bible said, But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. That right in there is kind of our part. You see, we have a responsibility in this matter as Christians. A lot of people want to lay it all off on the Lord. But God, he said we're to build up ourselves on our most holy faith. But now God has a part. He said, now unto him, that's our Lord, that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever or ever. Amen. Let's pray just a moment. We'll get right into the message. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God and for the reading of the Word of God. And Lord, I'm glad we don't just read the Word of God, but Lord, when we read it through the eye of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God reads us as well. God, I pray tonight you'd help me to be a blessing to our dear people. Lord, I thank you tonight for our visitors and pray, God, you'd bless them this evening. God, I pray tonight that you'd help us, Lord, as we look into the new year to do our part, Lord, that we might experience the hand of God upon our lives, upon our families, upon our church, upon the ministry here at Bible Way. I ask you, dear Father, to bless our missionaries this year. God, I realize, Lord, that yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Lord, this could be the year when we gather around the table with our loved ones and all the saints of God that have gone on before us with our Lord. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us not just to look for, but to long for that day. May we be found faithful, our Lord. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Doing our part in the new year. I want to concentrate on just a few things. There, I guess you would call them verbs. And if we look at them here, you see, if the Bible said, but ye beloved, building, that would be a verb. Praying, that would be a verb. Keeping, or keep yourselves, you could put the word keeping yourselves in the love of God. And then the word looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if some have, you could use the word having compassion, making, again, the word making a difference. And others, save with fear. You could use the word saving and then pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. That's a lot going on in those few verses. Amen. And I want to concentrate on just a few things here. First of all, this word building. But ye beloved, building up yourselves. It's not been too many months ago that the Lord made this real in my heart. If God tells us we're to be building up, then we know that the enemy is going to be trying to tear down. Amen. The world is trying to tear us down. The flesh is trying to tear us down. And Satan is trying to tear us down. Anything that God wants to do, the enemy wants to do just exactly the opposite. If God's wanting to add to the church, then the enemy's wanting to subtract from the church. If God's wanting to multiply, then the enemy's wanting to divide. Amen. And so here in the Word of God, he tells us about building. And I want to look at, when I think about building, I mean, we've got some work going on. And this year, I tell you what, if you have a skill set in the working business, we've got a place for you. There's a lot of work to do around here. Amen. This year. And I'm excited about it. Amen. I thank God that he give us these hands. Amen. I can remember back when my dad was learning how to read a tape measure. Amen. And he would bring that big inch. They had an inch on a piece of paper and it was that long. And it told you what a 16th was and what a 32nd was and where 3/32nds was. Now, I got smarter than all that. It's hard to memorize all them 32nds. So I'd just call it a 16th heavy or a 16th light. Say amen right there. It'll work if you know just to mark it on that side of it just a little bit. And anyway, I can remember going through that with my dad and learning while he was learning as an adult to read a tape measure. He was teaching me as just a boy. And so building, there's a lot of building that we're going to be working on and doing. But here, the main building here is building up yourselves on your most holy faith. And when I think about building, I can't hardly think about it without thinking about Nehemiah in the Word of God. There was a destruction that had taken place in Jerusalem. There was a tearing down that had taken place by the enemy. Thank God Almighty, God put it in a man's heart to build it back up, amen, to raise up the walls to the glory of God. But when you're thinking about this building, and I believe to some extent, each and every one of us that's been saved any amount of time at all, we know what it is to be built up in the faith. Help me right there. But we also know what it is to be torn down. Amen. Just to get in a place of apathy, a place where we're complacent, a place where we're not diligent like we once were in the things of God. But the Bible's talking about that building. Listen to these verses. It came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. You see, any time that you're building up yourselves in your most holy faith, don't be surprised if maybe it's somebody in your family. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a coworker. They don't begin to say things like, well, who does she think she is? Or who does he think he is? I'm glad to answer that question. I'm a child of the King, trying to be more like the King. Amen. That's exactly what we are. We're Christians. We're God's children. Amen. And the Bible is talking about building here. He took great indignation. The enemy will do the same today. In Nehemiah 4:17, they which build it on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laid it, everyone, with one of his hands he wrought in the work, and with the other hand he held a weapon. That goes right back to this morning, don't it? If we're going to build, amen, better have some building going on. The enemy don't like it, so you better have a weapon in your hand. You better have the sword of the Spirit, amen. You better have the shield of faith. I was thinking this morning as I was preparing and looking back over what God had given me. Just the other day, I was helping my boy, Jeremy, work on a rifle. And what we had to do, we were working on a trigger on an AR, and I can't go into all of it and explain it to you. But there's a set screw that you put in there to take slack out of the trigger. And then the bolt, Brother Johnny, that holds the handle on was just a teeny bit too long. And when you put it in, it ran into that other set screw that we had added, and then the handle was loose. And not bad, but it was still loose. You can't live with that. And so I took it out, and my little grandson was there, Lucas. And I took it and put it in a pair of pliers, and I carried it over to the grinder, and I stuck that thing in against the grinder. I needed to take about a 16th heavy. You get that? Off of it, amen? And so I stuck it in against the grinder, and I told Lucas, I said, now, Lucas, there's one thing you don't want to do. I said, son, when you grind on something like that, I said, you don't want to touch it because it's hot. I said, watch this. I walked over to the sink, and I stuck it under the water, the cold water, and it went, steam went everywhere, and his eyes got about that big around. He said, what's that got to do with anything? If we'll have the shield of faith, those fiery darts that are coming at us, God can quench them just the same. Amen. He can, my friend, make them where they won't hurt you anymore. Amen. They won't hurt you. And so they builded the wall. They bear burdens. They had a weapon in their hand. Then in verse 18 of chapter 4, for the builders, everyone,
had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Well, I tell you, we ought to be listening for that trumpet this year while we're building. Amen. Brother John, I'm not picking on you, but I can't think about that without Brother John. A little while back, he asked me, it's been a little while back, it's been probably a couple years. He said, preacher, he said, do you believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ? We was over here working on something, sweating and going at it. And I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, then what are we doing all this work for? And amen. Good question, I guess. I'm telling Brother James Jones what Brother John said. He said, you go back and tell Brother John, I said, and the Bible said, to occupy till I come. Amen. So I had an answer. Amen. God had an answer. He wants us to build, don't he? Now listen to this. Listen, the trumpet's going to sound. I'd like to be found doing his will when it sounds, wouldn't you? Building up ourselves on our most holy faith. You know what that tells me? Listen to me carefully. I appreciate every one of you being here tonight. But your responsibility to grow in the Lord does not stop with your attendance at church. How many knows what I just said? Amen? It doesn't stop there. That Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. In other words, on Monday we're going to need some bread. On Tuesday we're going to need some bread. On Wednesday we're going to need some bread. Every day of our life, that we might build up ourselves on our most holy faith. Now think about this, and I'll move on from Nehemiah. But Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 1, it came to pass, think about this year, building up ourselves, our part, on our most holy faith. It came to pass in verse 6, chapter 6, verse 1, that Sanballat, Tobiah, the Geshem, the Arabian, and the rest of our enemies heard that I builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. In other words, the connection had been made. The enemy realized that the wall had come together. I can't remember which one of those shows. I believe it was the A-Team, when Hannibal at the end of the show would always say something like, I love it when a plan comes together. How many knows that? You just told your age, didn't you? Amen? Amen? I'd like to have some of that gold is around that old fellow's neck, wouldn't you? Amen? We wouldn't even have to take up another offering for a while. Amen? But listen to me. God has a plan. And God loves it when that plan comes together. But just as sure as God loves it, and God looked down on Nehemiah and looked down on the children of Israel and thought, my, how blessed I am. Amen. And what a blessing they are. The enemy hated Nehemiah. And they hated the children of God. So watch what they did. The Bible said here, Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arabian, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall. There's no breach left therein. Sanballat and Geshem said unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to help us tonight. Our teenagers, our children, our moms, our dads, our seniors tonight. Just as sure as you get it in your heart, I want to build up myself. I want to build up myself that I might honor God on my most holy faith. I want to be in the building business in my life. Just as sure as you get that in heart, in your heart, the enemy's going to come along and say, hey, come down here and let's talk about this. Amen. Let me just say this to you. You'll never win talking to the enemy. Amen. We better talk to Jesus. Amen. And let the Lord handle the enemy. Listen, the Bible said here, come, let us meet together. One of the villages in the plain of Ono, but they thought to do me mischief. I sent messengers unto them. Nehemiah wouldn't even go down and talk to him, saying, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. In other words, the enemy kept coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back. A little while back, Brother Brian, I heard on the CD the Sunday school lesson. I believe it was about Balak or how that when he kept coming back, things changed. Here with Nehemiah, he didn't change his mind. The first time he said, I'm not coming down. The last time he said, I'm not coming down. Why should the work cease? Why should what God's doing in your life and in your family and in my life and in our church and in our family, why should that work cease while we come down and have a visit with the enemy? Oh, beloved, God wants us to build up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I read this and I thought it would be a blessing to you. It's a little poem, but it says a lot. If the title of the poem is A Builder or a Wrecker. A Builder or a Wrecker. It fits perfectly, Brother Gary. Brother Gary's told me twice today, I'm beginning to get nervous. He said, I've got a sledgehammer. I'm getting nervous. Amen. Brother Gary, that's not pointed at you. Amen. I told Brother Gary, I said, I don't know about that sledgehammer. He said, why not? I said, because we're going to save them two befores. We're going to put them right back in another wall. Somebody help me. Amen. If we can save them, we're going to save them. Amen. But listen to this little poem, A Builder or a Wrecker. As I watched them tear a building down, a gang of men in a busy town, with a ho, heave, ho, and a lusty yell, they swung a beam and the sidewall fell. I asked the foreman, are these men skilled? And the men you hired, if you wanted, are they men you'd hire if you wanted to build? He gave me a laugh and he said, no indeed, just common labor is all I need. I can easily wreck in a day or two what builders have taken years to do. And I thought to myself as I went my way, which of these roles do I wish to play? Am I a builder who works with care, measuring life by rule and square? Am I shaping my work to a well-made plan, patiently doing the best I can? Or am I a wrecker who walks the town, content with the labor of tearing down? Oh Lord, let my life and my labors be that which will build for eternity. I'll tell you something right now. There are wreckers in the world. Say amen. I'm talking about home wreckers, church wreckers. Help me. They're everywhere in the world. But God wants us to be builders. God wants us to build. Listen, what God has built up in your life and in my life for years and years and years can be torn down in a moment of time. Read this Bible. It's all over the pages of the Word of God. You find where Demas was helping the Apostle Paul. Then in another place, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. There's things I don't understand, Brother Larry. I don't understand how anybody could love Jesus at one time in their life and then fall in love with this world at another time in their life. But I'm not the one that has to understand. I just know by the grace of God, I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want that to happen to you. I'd like for my grandchildren to have fond memories of their papa. I'd like to, yesterday, I called a man that I know, and he's not too far from where I live, and he wasn't home, but I talked to his wife, and I was wanting to try to get a deer for my sister. My sister was in at Christmas, and she said something to me. She said, surely you've got some deer meat in that freezer, and we do. But I just thought, instead of giving them a pack or two or three or four, what about just giving them a whole deer? Amen. All skinned out and quartered up, ready to go. Amen. In the cooler on ice. And so I called a neighbor, and she said, we've been seeing them every day. And I got all excited. It was about 4:30, and I trucked right on over there. Amen. And got over there, and there was five deer when I got there. But they weren't on his property. They were in the neighbor's yard, eating the grass and the bushes. And I just didn't think it would work too good to be pointing a rifle over that away, even after I found out the house is unoccupied right now. I still didn't have any peace about it. Amen. And so I stood around, and those deer stood there, and every once in a while they would look up in the woods. I said, there's a big boy coming out of there after a while. But it wasn't a big boy. It was six more big girls. Amen. And it happened to be a big girl day. It was one of them days where you could shoot a big girl if you wanted to. Amen. And they eat better anyway. Anyway, I just got to thinking that the Lord, He helps us when we're building up. Amen. And my sister has had so many struggles in her life. She's the one, Brother Rose, I was telling you about, that not my sister that comes here now. That's not her. It's my baby sister. She struggled many times in many places, in many areas in her life. But she's putting forth an effort. She's trying to do what's right. And I tell you, I don't want to tear that down. I want to build that up. Amen. To the best of my ability. And so you say, well, preacher, what about the rest of the story? It would just bore you. Let's go on with the preaching. Amen. Of the Word of God. Anyway, she's got meat. Amen. Now look here. The Word of God said not only building, that's our part. But then in verse 21, the keeping is our part. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Let me say this to you. As sure as the Bible told you and I that we need to keep ourselves in the love of God, listen to me carefully. There's somebody trying to pull us out of the love of God. Somebody trying to get us sidetracked. Somebody trying to get us, my friend, to forget. I believe it was this morning, Brother Brian, you were talking about the greatest commandments. Love the Lord thy God. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, if God made those the greatest commandments, that's probably where the enemy's going to hit pretty hard and try to get us not to love him, not to love our neighbor. But the Bible said, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Give me a couple things real quickly. Keeping. The Bible said the law of the Lord is perfect. There's been a big emphasis put today on the Bible. I don't apologize for that. It's a new year, and you can't put too much emphasis on the importance of the Word of God. The Bible said the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I'm going somewhere. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired. Somebody used that word this morning. Remember? And Peter, as newborn babes, Brother Brian challenged us, don't be like a senior that knows it all. Be like a freshman. As far as the Word of God's talking about, say amen. There's something new there for us every day. The Word of God said here, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Let me ask you a question. Is the Word of God still sweet to you? Some people don't like honey. I do. Whether it's the kind the bees make or the kind that God gave me when He gave me Miss Eve, I like honey either way I get it. Amen? I like it. How many of you guys call your wives honey? Amen? Well, if you don't, y'all try it. Amen? You going to try it, Danny? Are you going to try it? Amen. All right. Amen. Sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Watch this now. And in keeping them. The commandments of God, the Word of God. And keeping of them, there is great reward. No wonder the Bible said, keep yourselves in the love of God. Let me just say this to you tonight. I mean this. I doubt very seriously if we'll keep ourselves in the love of God if we don't keep ourselves in the Word of God. We have to keep ourselves in the Word of God. Much is going to come along and try to distract and detract from the Word of God. The Bible said, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Listen to me. Listen to me carefully. I believe we ought to study the Bible, but I can tell you this much right now. I've said it for years, wouldn't give you a nickel, not a nickel, for a preacher that's trying to feed his people something that he won't eat himself. I cannot tell you the times when God has rolled me out of my chair and I had to get down on my knees and get right with God before I could come to the pulpit and preach what he had given me to preach. I tell you, it's not just preaching for the sheep. It's preaching for the shepherd as well. Amen. The Bible said here, cleanse thou me. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. This is David talking. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright. I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth, listen to me, and the meditation of my heart, not only what's coming out of my mouth, but what's going on the inside of me, let it be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We've got a part in this. Building, keeping ourselves in the love of God, building up ourselves on our most holy faith. And then thirdly, looking. The Bible talks about here, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. He didn't come last year. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. He didn't come last year. And we're just starting on a new year. How many believes God would expect his children to be looking? Amen. He said, preacher, what's the importance of looking for him? I believe if we're looking for him, we'll be living for him. Amen. I believe we'll be found faithful. Listen to what the Bible said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I read something today, and it blessed my heart. I told Miss Eve about it. I didn't put it in my notes. I didn't plan on saying anything about it. But it reminded me of Brother Fred. It talked about Brother Ralph. It talked about a man that was leading an orchestra. And he was doing it in such a manner that he threw his shoulder out of joint, out of place, when he was with such enthusiasm. Amen. And the man that wrote it evidently was a preacher, and he said, I wonder if I've even ever thrown my tie out of place. When I read it to Miss Eve, she said, you have. She's always straightening me out. Always. But you know what? We ought to be enthusiastic as we look for him. We ought to do what we do as unto the Lord and not unto men. The Bible talked about that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of great God and Savior in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 12, this will help you. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now we know that that's going to be at the end of the millennium. You understand what I mean? There's going to be a new heaven, and there's going to be a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. But we're to be looking for that. And I believe when we're looking for that, that will remind us that many times that which aggravates us is very, very temporal. And one day it's going to go up in smoke. It's going to burn up. Amen. One day after a while. So we shouldn't let it get us down. We ought to keep our eyes on the Lord. Listen to this. Biblical prophecy provides some of the greatest encouragement and hope available to us today. Just as the Old Testament is saturated with prophecies concerning Christ's first advent, so both testaments are filled with references to the second coming of Christ. One scholar has estimated that there are 1,845 references to Christ's second coming in the Old Testament, where 17 books give it prominence. In the 260 chapters of the New Testament, there are 318 references to the second advent of Jesus. An amazing one out of every 30 verses. 23 of the 27 New Testament books refer to this great advent. For every prophecy in the Bible concerning Christ's first advent, there are eight which look forward to his second. I say hallelujah. If the Word of God's looking forward to the King coming, you and I ought to be looking forward to the King coming again. Amen. The Bible said, and of some have compassion. I tell you, if we're looking and we're building and we're keeping, it'll be no problem to have compassion. It'll be no problem to make a difference. It'll be no problem to save with fear. No problem to pull them out of the fire. And no problem to hate the garment spotted by the flesh. Now let's look just for a moment at his part and I'll be done. The Bible said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. How many believes the enemy wants us to fall? Brother Johnny, you believe the enemy would just like to tear you plumb down. You mentioned, Brother Johnny, in our youth retreat, how many have already been torn down that you grew up with. We're nothing special, are we, brother? He wants to tear us down too. And in so doing, rip the hearts out of people that had confidence in us. Amen. That we were instructed in the good things of God. I believe with all of my heart it ought to excite us to know that he'll do his part. He'll keep us from falling. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He's able to keep us from falling. He'll do his part. He'll present us faultless. You think about that for just a moment. I'm going to give you a little illustration. I didn't really plan on it, but I don't know. I won't be dogmatic about it, but I know a little bit about the canning process because my wife used to can a lot of things. She used to can green beans especially. It seemed like we had beans coming out of ears on both sides, but she canned a lot. And my wife, when she canned, she would listen for that little ping. She'd put them in that pressure cooker, and I think even at one time you didn't even have a pressure cooker, did you, Miss Eve? I don't remember. But anyway, she would listen. She'd set them out on a towel. I mean, they'd be all over the kitchen table. They'd be all over the counters. She was getting ready for winter time. Going to see to it we had something to eat. And she, in her mind, she could be doing something else, Brother Ralph, but she'd count them. If there were seven jars, she'd say one. Ping two. Ping three. Ping four. And you go right on. And the Bible said, grieve not the Spirit of God whereby you're sealed. Brother Steve, I just wondered sometimes when I read verses like that. I used to wonder, how could he present somebody like me faultless? When I'm full of them, Brother Ralph. You know, say... I read something else that I thought was pretty good. I don't know if I could word it exactly right. It said that one person said that they had no faults, thereby revealing another. You'll get that after a while. Amen. I used to say it like this. I thought I was wrong once, but I was mistaken. And I thought about this. How can he present us faultless? David, there was a night in February in 1987 when a religious wreck on the highway to hell. That's what Brother Bud preached on. Not that night, but several years. I never got past that message. I tried everything in the world. I was lost at the end of that road. Joined the church and tried everything in the church. And was still lost at the end of that road. But I got up that night. The Holy Spirit dealt with me, gave me another opportunity. And I just stood here and motioned for the pastor to come down. Brother Bud Wishon is his name. Brother Bud's still living. Brother Bud came down. He said, what is it, Rick? I said, preacher, I'm lost. I need to be saved. It kind of threw him for a loop a little bit. He had a great deal of confidence in me. And He said, Rick, are you sure the devil don't just have you tripped up and deceived? And I said, preacher, I've been deceived for 27 years. That's why I have to stand here in this mess tonight. I said, would you get your Bible? He got his Bible, and we knelt in the altar at Landmark Baptist Church in Glade Spring, Virginia. I'll never forget what he said when he put his arm around me. Never forget it. He said, Rick, I'm glad you come, son. He said, son, there ain't nothing worth dying going to hell over. My pride wasn't worth dying going to hell over. But I'm going somewhere. We got canned beans a while ago. Y'all remember that part, don't you? I'm going somewhere. According to the Bible, his blood cleaned me up. Brother Rose, I was so filthy when I went down, but I was so clean when I come up. I was so lost when I went down, but I was so saved when I come up. I saw my way to hell when I went down, but I saw on my way to heaven when I come up. I'm telling you, Jesus saved me that night. Let me say you this. The Bible said there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons who need no repentance. Let me tell you how the Lord has just sealed it in my heart that he's going to present me faultless. Over yonder in glory, when Jesus saved me that night, something went ping. You know how he sealed me, Brother Ted? When you go to get them green beans out, you get them out just like the day they were put in. I don't know about you tonight, but there's hope in my soul that when he gets me out, he'll get me out just like the day he sealed me in. And by the way, I believe the sin question was answered fully and finally at Calvary. And that his blood takes care of all of our sin, or we're all in trouble. That's not a license to sin. That's liberty to go out of here this year and serve the living God. Amen. But anybody that can't look in that mirror and see the faults is really not looking honestly. If we look into the mirror of God's Word, I believe the only perfection, Brother Brian, that we can see is in Him, not in us. Amen. It's in Him and not in us. They said a man, he kind of went out and had too much to drink. And he got in a brawl. And he got beat up pretty bad. And he had some bangs and bruises all over his face. And he went in the bathroom and he stood before the mirror and he got the Band-Aids out. He tried to sneak in and get in the bed. And the next morning, his wife said, you got drunk last night, didn't you? He said, oh, no, I didn't. She said, what makes you think that? She said, there's Band-Aids all over the mirror. I'm going to tell you something. Our faults will get found out one day after a while. But the thought, Brother Lowell, that he'll present us faults. Sister Danita sang the song a little while back, Such as I. What a blessing. What a blessing. That makes me want to go out this year and just try to do my part. The building part, the looking part, the keeping part, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, caring and compelling with compassion. Others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling. Brother Jimmy, if I wanted to know if you had any faults, I wouldn't ask you. I'd ask your wife. What about that, brother? Present us faultless before the throne. You know what he's going to do? He's going to present us in Christ. Hallelujah. Able to keep us from falling, to present us faultless. That blesses my heart. Unto him be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. I say, God, help us to give you the glory this year in our lives, in our families, in our church, in our community. Help us, Lord, to give you the glory. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight. Appreciate you being here. That's a lot to have on the plate, isn't it? That's enough to keep us busy. Mary sat at his feet. Mary heard his word. May we do the same. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the word of God. Thank you, God, tonight for the God of the word that loved us and gave himself for us. I pray, dear Father, tonight that in this new year we'd find ourselves in the building business. We know the enemy wants to wreck. He came to kill, to steal, to destroy. Lord, I was thinking about Brother Gary and the sledgehammer, the enemy. He certainly has a sledgehammer. But Lord, is not thy word like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? Lord, your hammer is bigger than his. Your heart is bigger than his. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to look to you in this coming year, to live for you, to make a difference, our Father, in someone's life, to have compassion. Lord, to hate the things that you hate and love the things that you love. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be more like Jesus, more of his saving fullness, see, more of his love who died for me.